Ticket for blocking the sidewalk, folks.
He hasn't explained how you block the sidewalk.
No, in this table. Current address is right there. It's on the driver's license. This table is exactly the same location it was before, and he refused to give a ticket for it now. Now he says it's not blocking the sidewalk. Before it was.
Very interesting.
Has the table moved, Sergeant Baker?
You're going to get fired, dude.
Let the sergeant write the ticket.
That's what he's getting paid to do.
By the people.
Ticket for political tabling downtown. Your taxpayer dollars at work.
Okay, Mr. Norris, we've established that we're not going to do it this way. Could you please put the tape recorder down? Here. I'm going to handcuff you.
Thank you.
For what? Petitioning downtown.
Well, Mr. Norris,
I know, but don't go into your pocket like that. Let me
make sure that
you're arrested.
I know, this is such a
lie. There you go, Mr.
Arrested for petitioning.
For everybody safe.
He's not like you. He wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
Okay, see.
At this point, I've handed the tape recorder to Andrew Johnson, who continues to record the incident as I was taken to the squad car in handcuffs.
I'm watching this table.
Now the officers begin interrogating Zoe Einbinder.
Well, no, you're not. You're being detained, all right? And in a way, it is an arrest because
the young woman who is sitting at the table, she just arrived. She's covered
in right yet?
I'm watching the table.
I was watching the table, too. Should we all sit down and watch the table?
Yeah, I think we're all going to stand here and guard the table.
Then you can get, all of our IDs and take us all to the all because I feel that this is really...
I think they have a problem with activists in the community, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Let me explain to you. Okay, if you want me to arrest everybody, then I'm going to have to do everybody in turn. Okay.
Oh, we're all going to arrest all of them.
With you.
I don't know.
That way.
Well, we know there's enough.
I'll tell you what.
I saw some people being intimidated ruthlessly because of the table that people aren't even tripping on.
Pass the tape recorder around.
If you just want to give me your name and your date of birth, that might be more than sufficient.
I was just walking around.
That's what you wanted to do. I'm willing to work with you here. But you can always fight the ticket, and you can probably win it. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if you didn't want to give your address to me for some reason, you go, you say...
Reasonable tone of voice of the officer, you can always fight the ticket, work with me here, and so forth. Sounds good, but the reality is what the legal system did is they took me to court five or six times on this, added new charges, took up dozens of hours of my time, stressed me out big time on this ticket, and then ended up not even showing up. So it was simply a form of harassment that they engaged in at great length. So the motto here is it would have been good for everyone there to say, okay, I'm now occupying the table. You can ticket us one after another for blocking the sidewalk. The table was not placed in the middle of the sidewalk. It was placed right next to the seated planter area, leaving about 15 feet of leeway for people to walk by. So it was preposterous, and it was clearly an action taken to harass. Now, it was also done as a citizen's arrest by Matisse Selman, who was the owner of the Sushi Now, which we are still urging people to boycott because of his support for this fenced-off area, which privatizes a large part of the sidewalk there. But Sergeant Baker did not have to take people away in handcuffs, which he did with myself and with Zoe. We'll hear a little more of this. It was later misreported in the Good Times as some sort of phony... You'll hear Zoe screaming soon. That the indication that she was somehow faking it, pretty strange perspective by the Good Times.
What's your name?
I'm Lieutenant Gray.
Zoe Einbinder was taken away, charged with false information for giving a false name, and she was also arrested for blocking the sidewalk. Again, the irony of it was we were both tabling in a place where we continued to table. I came back after being arrested and set up the table in exactly the same spot. I interviewed Officer Baker, who said, well, first he didn't have to warn me. Second of all, he admitted the table was in the same place, and that it wasn't, you know, blocking the sidewalk, but it was blocking the sidewalk because at some point there was a large crowd there, and that somehow I was responsible for that. He kind of created this new legal theory that if a crowd gathers, I'm responsible for blocking the sidewalk, even without warning. And more important, that I can be taken away in handcuffs if he doesn't like the fact that I'm informing people around me about what's going on. So even though he had all the information he needed in his hands, which was my driver's license, he's given me tickets before, all of which have been dismissed. And on all three occasions he's given me tickets in the last year, he's taken me away in handcuffs on infractions. These are decisions that Sergeant Baker has made. Actually, one of them was a misdemeanor, but it was a misdemeanor that I didn't need to be arrested for. That was Mayor Crone's arrest of me for raising my arm briefly in a silent, fleeting, you're acting like a bunch of fascists salute at City Council after Crone had shut down Speaker Susan Zeman at the mic prematurely. And Fitzmaurice, council member, Green Party council member Fitzmaurice, insisted I be arrested. So that's coming up in federal court. And it's going to be announced at a formal press conference. We'll have Attorney Kate Wells should be there. Amy Courtney has been invited to speak. Sherry Connable has been invited to speak. The issue here is not my case, which is incidental, but the whole issue of police harassment downtown, which is really the key here. And the city council's support of this through giving the police a blank check and the kind of court collusion that goes on, all of which might make a nice subject for grand jury investigation. Although, again, the problem with grand juries is that they are led by prosecutors. And the reason the San Francisco grand jury became a runaway grand jury and decided to indict the very head of the police department was because it actually involved the fact that an investigator in the San Francisco Police Department was dumped from the case after he began to find incriminating evidence against a superior, not the head of the police department. But the head of the police department helped collude in covering up this whole situation and moving the investigator off the case. And the grand jury decided to assign responsibility to this beyond what the district attorney, I think, wanted. Still, grand jury investigations and indictments into people like Sergeant Baker, who engage in abuse of their authority regularly and are allowed to do this by Chief Belcher and his superior, Lieutenant Patty Saponi and others, is, I think, would be a salutary move here in Santa Cruz, would be a healthy move. So my show is pretty much over, about 2 or 3 minutes remaining. If you want to get in touch with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, you can call 423-HUF, 423-4833, or come to the HUF meeting on Wednesday mornings, 8:30 a.m. at Baker's Square, 1107 Ocean. That's the restaurant on Ocean Street, the Pie Shop. Come on down. Or you can contact me on the web. Come to give me an email at rnorse@hotmail.com or come to www.huffsantacruz.org. All possibilities if you want more information about HUF. You can also come down to the Vigil to Stop Two Wars, which a number of organizations are hopefully going to be supporting, and which may well be beginning tomorrow. We're going to start some tabling today, see what kind of, how much of an organized group we have together, and possibly begin that vigil tomorrow at noon. But you can come down and learn more about it today. We should be in front of the Cinema 9 area, right across the street from Cinema 9, O'Neill Sports Shop. Or if it gets too cold, we'll wander on down probably to the bookshop Santa Cruz, where you can actually get sun for a longer period of time. We need your help. We need you. If you want to stop the war, you got to stand up and say so. And I think we have to do so in a 24-hour way. This is a key time. I think pressure at this point might actually have an impact. You know, we see Turkey saying no to the war, and this is another delay. It's a chance that this country has to actually, for the first time in history, stop a war before it starts. So come on down, be a part of the vigil to stop two wars, not just the war in Iraq, but the war against the poor in Santa Cruz. It is our shame that a city council which gives these somewhat pro forma resolutions against the war, although it originally gave a somewhat stronger resolution, strong in its time because it was the first city to do so, are at home engaging in systematic violation of human rights of poor people. That has to be stopped. So come on down. Be a part of this effort. And you can also join me next week, I should say next Thursday, later this week, for another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and from 6 to 8 on Thursday evenings. I don't believe we have a city council meeting. Ah, yes, on Tuesday we do have a council. Not a council meeting, but Emily Riley will be reading Poetry Against the War at the Rio Theater, I believe. And I haven't got too much to say about this. I believe Riley's sidelining of all significant resolutions at the last town hall meeting and her failure to hold another town hall meeting, or canceling, in essence, of the Civic Auditorium for the March, so-called, the scheduled March 19th town hall meeting, speaks a lot more about her determination to stop this war than any poetry reading does. But you can make up your own mind by going there. Wednesday at noon, there's going to be a walkout on campus, or at least some kind of walkout across the country in some celebration or festival or anti-war activity on campus, as well as an occupation of or CD action around. I'm not sure what exactly is going to be happening. at the Recruiting Center on 41st Avenue out in Capitola. So if you want to be a part of that, you can be a part of that. I'm a little bit late in getting out of here. Let's go out to some of the music of Leon Russell.
In the town of Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, down in the dark of the Cumberland mine, there's blood and the coal and the miners lie.
This is Leon Russell, this is Peggy Seeger and you in the call. Sorry.
Never saw sun or sky, roads that never saw sun or sky. In the town of Spring Hill, you don't sleep easy. Often the earth will tremble and roll. When the earth is restless, miners die. Bone and blood is the price of coal. Bone and blood is the price of coal. In the town of Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, late in the year of 58, day still comes and the sun still shines, but it's dark as the grave in the Cumberland mine, dark as the grave in the Cumberland mine. Down at the coal face, miners work in rattle of the belts and the cutter's blade. Rumble of rock and the walls close round the living and the dead men 2 miles down. Living and the dead men 2 miles down. 12 men lay 2 miles from the pit shaft. 12 men lay in the dark and sang. Long hot days in a miner's tomb. It was 3 feet high and 100 long. 3 feet high and 100 long. 3 days passed and the lamps gave out, and Caleb rushed and he up and said, there's no more water, no light, no bread, so we'll live on songs and hope instead. Live on songs and hope instead. Listen for the shouts of the barefaced miners. Listen through the rubble for a rescue team. 600 feet of coal and slag. Hope imprisoned in a 3 foot seam. Hope imprisoned in a 3 foot seam. 8 days passed and some were rescued, leaving the dead to lie alone. Through all their lives they dug a grave 2 miles of earth for a marking stone. 2 miles of earth for a marking stone.
Hey Jack, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, a rumor around town says you might be thinking about going down to the shore.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go down to the shore.
What are you going to do down there?
I don't know. Play some video games, buy some Def Leppard t-shirts.
Don't forget your Motley Crue t-shirt. You know, all proceeds go to get their lead singer out of jail.
Uh-huh.
Can't wait to go down. Hey, are you going to check out the sandbar while you're down there?
What's the sandbar?
That's a place that lets 16-year-old kids drink.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, hey, guess who's gonna be there?
Who?
My favorite cover band, Crystal Shit.
Wow.
Yeah, they do a tour show. Really impressed. In fact, it goes a little like this. Love me two times, baby. Love me twice today. Love me two times, girl, 'cause I got AIDS. Love me two times, baby. Once for tomorrow, once 'cause I got AIDS. Pretty good Jim Morrison in prison there. I hope those guys have a good sense of humor and don't take us into court.
What's the court?
Never mind that. The important thing
here... You mean
here,
the people's court.
No, that's another story. The important thing here is that we get to the part where you ask me how I'm going to get down to the shore.
Oh, how are you getting down to the shore?
Funny you should ask. I've got a car now.
Oh, wow. How'd you get a car?
Oh, my folks drove it up here from the Bahamas.
You're kidding.
It must be. The Bahamas are islands. Okay, the important thing here is that you asked me what kind of car it is.
What kind of car do you got?
I've got a bitchin' Camaro.
Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro. I ran over my neighbor. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro. Now I'm in all the papers. My folks bought me a bitchin' Camaro with no insurance to match. So if I happen to run you down, please don't leave a scratch. I ran over some old lady one night at the county fair. And I didn't get arrested because my dad's a mayor. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro, donuts on your lawn. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro, Tony, Orlando, and Dawn.